Good evening, church. Once again, we'd like to welcome you to our Saturday evening service. We are so glad that you can join us today. Man, how many of you are thankful to be in the house of the Lord this evening? You know, the Word of God says in Psalms 100 and verse 4, it says, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name." Come on, there is always a reason to celebrate. There is always a reason to be thankful. And the part where we can be thankful for, regardless of what we are feeling today, regardless of how our week has been, is found in the next verse. Can I have the next verse? Psalms 100 verse 5. "For the Lord is..." Come on, you can do better than that. "For the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generation." Church, God is good. And what do you say? All the time. There is one thing that we can always celebrate. It is the goodness of God. It is the goodness of God. And when we celebrate the goodness of God, He manifests Himself. He reveals Himself tangibly to every single one of us. And the Word of God says, and His truth. The word truth here is the promises of God. I want you to know that God will not just be good to you in your generation, but He will also be good to your children's generation. And He will also be good to your children's and children's generation. How many of you like that? Say amen. Come on, if you want to give the Lord the glory, come on. Give a mighty clap to the Lord. That is why we celebrate the goodness of the Lord. He is good, and He is always good. He has been good, and He will always and always and always be good. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is a good God, and He will be good to you. All right, last weekend, talking about thankfulness, right? Last weekend, we had our mission weekend. You know, I do not know how many of you were here, but if you were not here, we have budgeted an amount of 200,000. Can we have it on the screen? You know, we have budgeted an amount of 200,000, but the pledge amount that came in was 220,000. Come on! And it's still increasing, and that is something to be thankful for. So if you were not here last week and you did not have the opportunity to pledge, don't worry. This week, you can still pledge. What you do, just right after the service, make sure when you leave the hall, you take the pledge form, and then you can do your pledge as well. Amen. Church, how many of you know that God is a good God and He wants to bless you? God is a good God and He wants to bless you. You know, when you give unto the Lord, church, you are actually giving an opportunity to the Lord to give you even more, even in a greater measure. Come on, somebody say amen. That is why the Word of God says this. Luke chapter 6 verse 38. Don't read this. It's not what I'm preaching today. But I want to emphasize once again. Luke chapter 6 verse 38 says, "Give and it will be given." Given to you. In good measure. There is a measure, right? In good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Church, the criteria in unlocking the blessings of God requires you to take the first step to give unto the Lord. When you give unto the Lord, and it will be given. Everybody say given. It will be given to you. So I want all of you to be a blessed person. I want Calvary Community Church to be a blessed church. And therefore, this is why we want to sow into the kingdom of God. That is why we want to give unto the Lord. Because we know we can never outgive God. How many of you know that? We can never. You can try your best, but won't succeed. You can try. You can try your best, all right? But you will never outgive God because God is a good God and He loves to bless His children. Can I hear a good amen in this place? Amen. You know, church, like what Pastor Jonathan said, today marks the 60 days. We are 60 days away from 2025. You know, I do not know how many of you are following the church Instagram or Facebook, but we have actually been counting down since the hundreds of days, literally. And every single day, we are preparing ourselves to enter into 2025. And today marks the 60th day. We are away from 2025. And you know, we are in just a blink of an eye, we are already in November. You know, in just another blink of an eye, we will enter into December. And of course, December is full of programs. December is like the, I would say, buyers, okay? Best month of the year. All right? Best month of the year. Because you know why? There is a kilo kase. You know, we can give unto the needies, and we can bless other people. There is Christmas service on the 22nd, and there is New Year's service on the 28th. So make sure you mark your calendars down, okay? Because we have been emphasizing on these dates because we want you to be there. There are so many things that are happening in the December, and then boom, 2025 comes. Right? But here's the thing. There are many physical happenings leading towards the year 2025. But my question for you is, what about the spiritual happenings? What about the spiritual happenings? That is why Pastor Rajan always say this. We need to enter into the new year spiritually first before we enter into the new year physically. But this evening, how many of you are ready to enter into 2025 spiritually? I know Pastor Jonathan is already there. You know, he's already in 2025, probably in May or somewhere. But I want all of us to make sure that we are gearing up ourselves, that we are ready, that we are prepared for what the Lord has in store for us as individual and us as body of Christ, as Calvary Community Church, for what He's going to do in the midst of us. Because I believe that 2025 is going to be a year of His blessings. It's going to be a year of a greater outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's going to be a year of His greater measure. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. You know, and this evening I wanna preach prophetically. All right, I do not know whether I've done this before, but there is something the Lord laid in my heart that I want to release it tonight. You know, when I was praying for the church, you know, as I was preparing to get ready into 2025 and was praying for the church, the Lord spoke to me so clearly, so clearly. How many of you want to know what the Lord spoke to me? Five of you. How many of you want to know what God spoke to me? Yes. Right? You know, as I was praying one day, right? I was in the church. I was praying one day in the church for the church. You know, and I remember I was just walking around the building and I was closing my eyes and I was just walking, you know, just talking to the Lord, praying for the church. And then suddenly, I felt a gust. And this is just very recently, I think 2-3 days ago. Suddenly, there was a strong gust of wind that came and blew on my face. Okay? It blew on my face and it was so strong but yet gentle. And the very different thing that I've experienced is it is not just any other wind. I mean, we have all felt wind before, right? But that wind was targeted to my face. And I didn't know why. And the wind just targeted my face. And suddenly, I heard the Lord says, I am bringing my fresh wind into Calvary Community Church. I'm bringing my fresh wind upon Calvary Community Church. And I was asking the Lord, Lord, what are you saying? Before I even can complete my sentence, suddenly in my heart, there was a word. And the word is Ruach. Everybody say Ruach. Ruach is not English word, okay? By the way, if some of you are like, huh, what's that word? Ruach is a word in Hebrew. And the word Ruach actually means wind. It means the Spirit of God. It means breath. And I was thinking, Lord, what are you saying? What are you saying about Ruach, about the wind of the Holy Spirit, about the breath of God? And the Lord led me to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37, can it be on the screen, please? Verse 1 to 10. If you have bring your Bible, you can take up your Bible and wave at me. If not, just look to the screen. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1 to 10, it says, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. And it was full of? Come on, it was full of? It was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. There are many bones, and they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? This is God asking Ezekiel. Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, Oh Lord God, you only know. Let's pause there. You know, when I was reading this scripture, I realized something peculiar. I really, really realized that, hey, there's something weird about this scripture. When God asked Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live? It's as if God doesn't know the answer. I mean, he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning of and the end. Don't tell me he don't know whether these bones can live. So why is he asking Ezekiel, can these dry bones live? And I was asking the Lord, Lord, why did you ask Ezekiel this question? And I realized something. When God spoke to Ezekiel, he wasn't looking for an answer, but he was looking for a response. A response. Ezekiel, son of man, what will you do? What will you do even as you are standing in that valley of dry bones? What are you going to do? God is looking for a response from Ezekiel. He's not looking for an answer because he is the answer. If you continue reading the scripture, you realize that he is the answer. So God was not looking for an answer, but he was looking for a response from Ezekiel. Ezekiel, what will you do? What will you say in this circumstance when you are surrounded by a valley of very dry bones? And I'm a very imaginative person. I like to picture it in my mind. If I am standing in a valley of dry bones, what will I do? Will we be like, oh, it's too dry, God, it's impossible, and walk away? Oh, this situation is too hopeless, God, send me to another place. Probably there might be, you know, a miracle, because this place is impossible, it's too hard, it's too difficult. But you see, God was looking for a response from Ezekiel. Let's continue reading it. Verse 4. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear. Everybody say hear. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. Everybody say noise. And that noise led to a rattling. And suddenly a rattling. Noise led to a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over. But there was no breath in them. Let's pause here. The word breath here, once again, when I search in the original language, the word breath here is ruach. Ruach. There was no breath in them. It is not just life, but the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God that gives life. It is not the other way around. It is the Spirit of God gives life. So when he was looking at the dry bones, even though the bones were coming together, bone to bone, sinew to sinew, skin to skin, but there was no Spirit of God inside of them. There was no ruach in them. And then you see, what's this? What happens? Verse 9. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, say to the breath. Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, and that they may live. So I prophesied, and he's commanded me. The breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Church, I want you to realize something. Only when the breath of God came into them, only when the ruach, the Spirit of God, came into these bones, they became alive. They started living. And not just living, an exceedingly great army. And why the Lord gave me this scripture? I realize something. I believe the Lord is breathing his breath. He is releasing the Spirit of God upon Calvary Community Church in 2025. That's the word that the Lord gave me. He is breathing upon us. He is giving his breath to us. He's releasing his Spirit upon us so that we may come alive. Come on. How many of you are excited? So that we can come alive, so that those who are dead in the spirit, They will come to life so that those that seem hopeless, they will start being hopeful. Those that seem impossible will start becoming possible. Those that seem stuck will start moving forward. That is what happens when the Ruach, when the Spirit of God comes upon you. And that is what's going to happen in Calvary Community Church in 2025. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, you will begin to come alive. You will begin to be awakened. You will begin to revive. You will begin to move in the momentum of the Holy Spirit. That is what happens when the Ruach comes upon you. Church, are you ready? Are you ready for the Spirit of God to breathe upon you? Are you ready for what the Lord is in store for you as a church in 2025? For you, your family, your career, and all that you're involved in. Because that's what the Lord told me. I will cause my breath to be inside of you, and that you will come to life. That you will be being awaken, that you will be revived once again. That's the Ruach of the Spirit of God. And I really sense in 2025, Calvary Community Church, this word, the wind of the Spirit is about to bring a shift to every single one of our season in Calvary Community Church. The wind of the Spirit. The wind of the Spirit. You know, when I mentioned about the experience I had, right? That wind was only to my face. It wasn't to my body or whatever. The wind was to my face. I was wondering why. You know, and it's not like a strong wind, you know. It's not like you stand under the fan and then the fan blow at your face, you know. Like a violent wind, like a strong wind. No, it's probably more like a Dyson wind, you know. No, probably that's a bad example. I don't have Dyson, so I do not know. But it's a very strong but yet gentle, very gentle wind that blew across my face. And that's what happens when the breath of God came upon the valley of dry bones. It was blowing upon them that they began to come to life. Church, are you ready for the breath of God to come into you so that you will come alive? That you will start burning with a zeal and a passion for the Lord? That you will start carrying the spirit of revival wherever you go and whatever you do. That is what happens. That is what happens when we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. That is what happens when we allow the Holy Spirit to come and breathe upon us. And I'm excited for what is in store for 2025, because I know what is dead is going to come to life. What is stuck is going to be unstuck. What is impossible will be made possible. All those prayers that we've been contending for years and years and years and years, 2025 will be the year of breakthrough in Jesus' name. If you believe, say amen. Amen. If you believe, say amen. Amen. I really hope that every single one of us, we will walk as men and women of God that carries the Ruach of God, that carries the breath of God, that carries the Spirit of God wherever we go. But here's the thing, church. Do you know that the Holy Spirit is already living inside of you? That's the difference. The Holy Spirit is already living inside of you. What you are doing now is going to start changing. You see, you don't have to wait for 2025 to come. Sometimes we wait for 2025 to make our New Year plans. I want to lose weight. I want to eat healthy. And then it started on 1st January. And then by the 2nd January, finish. But see, church, you don't have to wait for 2025 for the Lord to release His blessing, for the Lord to move inside of you, for the Lord to shift your season. The Holy Spirit is already inside of you. Everybody say, inside of me. It's already inside of me. So therefore, if you choose to be aware, you are actually a partner of the Holy Spirit. And then you can actually ask the Lord, Holy Spirit, what you are doing right now, that you are causing a shift in my season before I even enter 2025. That is what it means to prepare spiritually before you enter into the year physically. You know, I always have been hearing Pastor Rajan preach about that statement, and I never really understood. I thought I was just praying, you know, getting my heart ready, but no. It's about something more tangible and powerful. It's about partnership with the Holy Spirit. It's about saying, Holy Spirit, what you want to do? Can you show me a glimpse of what you're going to do in 2024 right now, 2025 right now? Right now, God. I don't want to wait for 2025 to see what you have in store. But Lord, right now, God. Right now. How many of you know that God is a God of now? He's not just a God of the future. God is a God of now. Man, I'm jumping ahead of myself. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. Everybody say fire. And as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Church, I want you to realize something. They are not just gathered together in one place, and then the Holy Spirit came upon them. The Word of God says they were gathered together in one accord in one place. What does one accord actually means? You see, the Word of God says in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, right? It says, when two or three are gathered in my name, I will be in the midst, right? So that means that when people gather together, the Holy Spirit is there, is present. But what happens that in this Acts chapter 2, that suddenly there was an outpouring. Suddenly there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's because they were gathered together in one accord. What is one accord? I wrote this down. What is one accord? The one accord is that they were all going after that one thing. They were all driven by one purpose. The thing is this, church, every Saturday and Sunday, we gather together here in CCCJV Antioch Hall for service. We are gathered together in one location, in one place. But are we in one accord? Are we in one accord? That's a totally different question. Are we in one accord? Are we all coming with that one purpose? For that one reason? For that one thing that we are going after, that we're pursuing for? Because you know what? That's what the disciples were together. That's what the disciples were doing. They were one accord in one place. And then, suddenly, everybody says suddenly, the suddenly of the Lord took place when the one accord and the one place happened. Suddenly there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's rewind a little bit, okay? I want you to understand something. As we are reading this scripture, right, it's just a verse apart. But I want you to understand that if you read closely, the suddenly actually took place after 10 days Jesus ascended into the heavens. What am I saying? What I'm saying is, let me give you some context. After the resurrection, Jesus was with his disciples for 40 days, right? And then after that, he ascended into the heavens. Okay, he ascended into the heavens. But after he ascended into the heavens, after 10 days, only the suddenly took place. So here's my question. What happened in the in-between? What happened in the in-between? How come after 10 days, Jesus ascended into the heaven, only there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Here's what happened. After Jesus ascended into the heavens, the disciples went back to Jerusalem and went back to the upper room. Okay? This is where they were living. And they stayed together and came together in one accord, in one place to pray. Let's look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Verse 12 to 14. And let me give you some context. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. These continued. Okay, look at this. These all continued with one accord in one place. So that means, after Jesus ascended into the heavens, they all still came together in one accord, in one place, in prayer and in supplication. Church, I want you to know something. Before heaven invaded earth through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the disciples invaded heaven through their one accord, through their prayer, through their supplication, through their worship. And then the suddenly took place. See, there must be something, there must be a price to be paid before the tangible outpouring of the Holy Spirit. When we read in Acts chapter 2, we realize that it's just, oh, suddenly they were one accord in one place, and then, bam, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit took place. But no, even after Jesus ascended into the heavens, probably they were lost. They do not know what was going on, don't know what to do. But they still came together in the upper room where they were staying. And they still continued to pray. They still continued to petition. They continued to worship in one accord with one agenda. So that the coming of the Holy Spirit will be upon them. So that there is only one purpose for the disciples of Jesus. So that more, they will receive more of the Lord. And then after 10 days, after 10 days, the suddenly of the Lord took place. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit came upon them. Church, in order for the suddenly of the Lord to take place in our lives, we don't just need to come together in one location. We need to come together in one accord, in one mind, with one focus, with one agenda, going after the Lord. And it is for the coming of the Lord to fill us once again with the Ruach of God, with the Spirit of God. Church, how many of you know that Jesus is really coming back soon? Man, probably you have heard many preachers and pastors been saying about the coming of the Lord, the coming of the Lord. And then some of you really asking, when is the coming of the Lord? But the thing is this, church, if you are walking with the Lord, though we may not know the day, the time, when he's coming, but you will know the season. You will know the season. And let me tell you something, we are at the very end. And he's really, really coming back soon. He's really, really coming back soon. Let's continue. In Acts chapter 2, verse 3 to 4, it says, and then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Church, I want you to realize when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit comes, when the suddenly of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, not one, not two, not some of us will be blessed and will be filled. But the Word of God says all of them, everybody say all. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Not a single one of them missed out in the move of God. Not a single one. Church, those that are sleeping, say amen. Praise God, you're awake. Because some of you, I feel like you're in the third heavens. I need to bring you down for a moment. Because this is so important. I don't want you to miss out on the momentum of the Holy Spirit. I don't want you to miss out on what God has in store for you in 2025. Because He's coming and He's ready. He's ready to pour out His Spirit, and then the suddenly of the Lord is going to come upon you. But before that, we have to put a price on the altar. There must be a price that is laid on the altar. Fire can only fall on sacrifice. If there is no sacrifice, my friend, there is no fire. There is no outpouring of the Spirit. The disciples came together in one accord, in one place, prayed, petitioned, and worshiped. That's why there was a suddenly of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. What are you placing on the altar, church? What are you placing on the altar before you enter into 2025? Don't wait until 2025 comes and then you start preparing your sacrifice. Why don't start preparing now? Prepare your sacrifice right now as you enter into 2025. Let's enter into 2025 spiritually first before entering into physically. Somebody say amen. When God breathed upon us, not a single one of us will miss out. There is a portion for every single one of us. There is a portion for you. There is a portion for you. There's a portion for me. There's a portion for every single one of us. Turn to your neighbor and say, there is a portion for you. Some of you see it like you don't believe it. I pray that that will change with conviction. No, see, as we prepare ourselves spiritually to move forward into 2025, here's the word. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 to 19. It says, do not remember the former things, church. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, everybody say, behold. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Church, I want you to know something. The Lord is going to do a new thing. A new thing in every single one of our lives. And He's going to cause a shift in our season as Calvary Community Church. The winds of change is coming, church. The winds of change is shifting your season. Are you ready for the winds of change? Behold. Behold the coming of the Lord. Behold the glory of the Lord. Behold, for He is about to do a new thing. Come on. He's about to do a new thing. And you know what does the new thing means? What does new means in the Bible? New means new. Some of you thinking like I'm some Bible scholar. New means new. There is no other translation. New means new. What does new mean? No eyes have seen. No ear has heard what the Lord has in store for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. No eyes have seen. No ears have heard, church. So that means none of you, none of me, no one knows what the Lord is about to do. He's going to do a new thing. And I'm excited. And I hope you are excited because that's what God is going to do in 2025. He's going to do it to you. He's going to do it to your family, in your business, in your relationship. Everything. Everything is going to be new when the Ruach of the Spirit of God comes upon you. And church, here's the thing. In order for the new things to come, the old has to go. In order for the new things to come, the old has to go. God cannot give you new wine if you're still having old wine skin. That's the word. You got to move forward. You got to move on. You got to embrace the new and give up the old. Because God is about to pour out His new wine. His Spirit of God upon you. His breath. His Ruach upon you. And when He pours into you, church, you cannot still have that old wineskin and that old mindset. You have to change. You have to be upgraded in the Spirit with the Lord. Luke 5, 37, 38. No one, say no one. No one puts new wine into old wineskin, or else the new wine will burst into wineskins and be spilled. And the wineskin will be ruined, but new wine must be put into new wineskin so that both are preserved. The new wine and the new wineskin, both will be preserved. Church, I want you to understand that new wine requires new wineskin. If we are still tapping on the revelation that we had 20 years ago, while we are sitting here and asking God, would you do that again? Let me tell you something. God has something new in store for you. His grace, His mercy, His revelation is fresh. Fresh, my friend, every morning. That is why when the Israelites, when they were in the wilderness, every day there was fresh manna. And you know what was the instruction of the Lord? They were not to keep the manna until the next day. Why? When the next day come, it will be rotten. It will be rotten. Why? Because when the next day comes, there was new manna once again. Church, we cannot rely on the old revelation. We cannot rely on the experiences that we had since we were young, or when we were 5 years ago, or even 1 year ago. We need to tap into the new thing of the Lord. We need to tap into the new wine of the Lord. We need to sit and abide in the new revelation of the Lord, because He is pouring forth a new wine upon you, into you, my friend. He's pouring His new wine upon you. But if you are not aware, you missed out. You missed out, church. You missed out on what the Lord is doing in your life. But I pray the Calvary Community Church, none of us will miss out. None of us will miss out on what the Lord is doing in our life. None of us will miss out in 2025. Because what the Lord has for us in 2025 is a new thing. And it's a fresh manna. It's a fresh revelation. It's the fresh touch of the Lord. And I am ready, church. My question for you, are you ready? Are you ready? We cannot bring the old into the new, church. And for some of us here, in order for us to move forward, we need to let go of the old and to embrace the new. The Word of God says, do not remember the former things, the things that has happened. You see, the Word of God didn't say, don't remember the bad things, but remember the good things. Okay? The Word of God says, do not remember the former things, which means even the good things you are supposed to forget. Because sometimes we can get so comfortable being in that familiarity. We can be so comfortable staying in that convenient zone, in that revelation that, oh, that God has given me, and I'm just going to sail in that revelation until the end. No! God has something in store for you, church. God has something new in store for you, church. We need to even let go of the good thing so that the greater thing can come upon you and upon your family and upon your career. That is what the Lord is saying over you in 2025. Amen, church. Amen. When we get caught up with the good things in the past, we will stay stuck, church. We will remain stuck and not wanting to move forward. But I feel this evening, the Lord is urging every single one of us. Even the good things have happened in the past. You celebrate it, but it's time to move forward. It's time to move forward because greater things are coming. Greater things are coming. You see, the Lord leads us from glory to glory. He doesn't give us last season's glory. In this season, no. He gives us new season's glory for this season. And in 2025, there will be a newer revelation. There will be a newer manna for you and I. We need to learn how to trust in Him, church. I know sometimes it might sound so scary. We might not understand, God, what are you doing? Why are you asking me to do this? It's so unfamiliar to me. Why are you asking me to step out from my comfort zone? But this is what it means to trust in the Lord. When we trust in the Lord, we are literally saying, God, you have my life in your hands. You have my life in your hands. Even my understanding. Even when I don't understand, Lord, you can have it all. And I will choose to trust you. I will choose to honor you. And I will choose to obey you. Because what you have in store for me is good. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 11. This is what the Word of God says. He has made everything beautiful in His time. Also, He has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end. See, the Word of God says He has made everything. Which means what? It's a past tense, you know. He has made. It's done. It is done. He has already made everything beautiful according to its time. So there's no point for us to worry. There's no point for us to ponder on what is going on, even when we don't understand what's happening in this season and the Lord is asking us to trust Him, regardless of what the Lord is asking you to do. Can you choose to say, Lord, I will trust you no matter what, regardless of whether I understand or not? Because you have made everything beautiful. And I will trust in your word. That is why Proverbs chapter 5 verse 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Your understanding means what? Your knowledge, your experiences, your own human wisdom. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. He will direct your path. How many of you want the Lord to direct your path in 2025? That's right. The condition is this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Know that the Lord's plan is good for you. Know that He has made everything beautiful in its time. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? The word of God says that he has made everything beautiful in his time. What the enemy meant for evil right now, church, I want you to know that it's temporary. Because God will turn it around for your good. God will turn it around for your good. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in who? In Pastor Rajan. In Pastor Jonathan. In who? In me. Everybody saying me. In me. Will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Church, I want you to understand something. It is he who started, it will also be he who finish. It is he that started a good work in you. You are the good work of the Lord, my friend. And that he will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So do not remember the former things, church. Don't even dwell on the things that has happened. It has become the past. It is important to know what the Lord is saying now. Because he is the God of the now. Everybody say now. The past is great. Know your successes, your victories is great. But it is time to live in the past. It is time to move forward with the Lord, to move into the momentum of the Lord, move into what the Lord is saying and is doing. Do not remember the former things, not consider things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Are you beholding the Lord? Are you beholding the Lord for him to do a new thing in your life, church? And church, I want you to know that God is not just a God of the now. He's also the God of the new. He's not just a God of the now. He's also God of the new. It continues saying that now it shall spring forth. Now it shall spring forth. Not later. Not next week. Not only when we step into 2025, Brian. But now, Brian. Now. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it, my friend? Shall you not know it when the Lord moves in your life? Shall you not know it? Church, this is the best part. Not only you will know it, but you will be a part of it. You will be a part of it. Let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 17. Can I have the worship team, please? Come on, worship team. Acts chapter 2, verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. I believe the new thing that God is about to do is for every single generation. Not one of us will miss out. You see, if you look to your left and look to your right, we are surrounded with people from different generations. There is, I don't know what, Gen Z, millennials. What else, Johnny? Boomers. Alpha. Gen X. I don't know what's Gen X. What's Gen X? It sounds like proton like that. Gen X. Double X. See, we are surrounded in different generations, right? All across. Just look to your left and your right. We are surrounded with different generations. But here's the thing. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, none of us will miss out. Not a single generation will miss out on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Because he is the God of all generations. That's why he called himself, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not only you will be blessed, your children will be blessed. Your children's children will be blessed. Your children's children's children will be blessed because he is the God of all generation. And I believe when we start to allow and be aware of what the Lord is doing in our life and partner together with the Holy Spirit for the Ruach of God to come upon us so that he will breathe upon us, that's what's going to take place. For our generation, for our generous generation, for our church, for our city, and eventually for our nation. Amen. I believe it is time for Malaysia. I believe that this prophetic word is not just for Calvary Community Church, it's not just for all of you, but it is for the nation of Malaysia. It is time to arise. It is time to arise and shine. It is time to be awakened in Jesus' name. The word of the Lord says in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 and 2, arise and it is time to shine, church. We have been trying to arise and arise and arise. Arise until where? But it's time to shine. Arise and? Arise and? Arise and? Are you shining, church? Are you shining for Jesus? Are you burning with such a zeal and a passion for the Lord? Because that's what the Lord wants to see in 2025. That's what my prayer for this church is for 2025. That every single one of us, regardless of what generation you are, that you will burn with a passion and a zeal for the Lord. Amen. You will burn. And that you will shine for the Lord. For the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Church, the glory of the Lord is risen upon us, church. If we are still going to continue to sit and wait for something to happen, you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out. Church, it's time to be awakened. Turn to your neighbor, shake them and say, wake up. I meant that spiritually and I meant that physically. And I really believe tonight, if you're sitting here, church, I want you to know that God wants to move in your life. It's time to let go of the past. It's time to move forward, church. It's time to embrace the new. I want you to know that you can pursue the Lord with all of your heart when you are intentional about it. When you are intentional, not just come to church and say, Lord, I want you. And then when you go home, God is out of the picture. Jesus out of the picture. No. When you have a relationship with the Lord, it's about intentionality. Is that God, regardless of where you are, whether I'm in church or whether I'm in the toilet, God, I want more of you. And that I want to burn. I want to burn with such a zeal and a passion for you and for the house of the Lord. So that His kingdom will come on earth. On earth as it is in heaven. Heaven is not the final destination, church. And we understand that. Yes, in terms, yes. But I want you to know that we don't have to go wait until when we die and go to heaven to experience heaven. We can experience heaven now. Now. Everybody say now. Why do you stand to your feet? I want to close with this. Philippians chapter 3 verse 13 to 14, it says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. And I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Come on, can we build an altar before the Lord and say, Lord, help me to be ready. Help me to be prepared for what you have in store for me in 2025. Lord, would you shift my season right now? Come on, every hand's lifted up. Even as we join together with the worship team to worship together with a song.
And let your glory fall in this room. And let it go forth from here to the nations. And let your fragrance rest in this place.
As we gather
to seek your
face. Come on, make this your prayer. Let your glory fall upon us, Lord.
Let your glory fall in this room.
Jesus.
Let it go forth from here to the nations. Let your fragrance rest in this place. As we gather to seek your face.
Let your glory fall.
And let your glory fall in this room.
Jesus.
Let it go forth from here to the nations. Your fragrance rest in this place. And as we gather to seek your face.
Come on, can we just pray in the spirit for a moment?
Oh,
Come on, everybody, pray the spirit, pray the spirit. Come on, let's just step into the spirit realm right now. Come on, press in, press in, press in the spirit.
Father, this is our prayer this evening, Lord. That you that would you cause your spirit to come upon us, Lord Jesus. Lord, would you stir up our hearts, Lord Father. Would you release the breath of God. That the Ruach of the Holy Spirit will come upon us, Jesus. That we will live our life as a living sacrifice for you, Lord. That we will be the sacrifice that will be placed on the altar, God. Not just our time, not just our finance, not just anything but we, Lord. Let us be a living sacrifice, God. Let us live our life as a living sacrifice, God. And would you be pleased, God? Would you be pleased with this offering, Lord? Would you be pleased, God? That you will pour forth your spirit upon all flesh, God. That you will pour forth your presence upon every single one of us, God. That as we step into 2025, Lord Father, let our season shift in Jesus' name. And that we will behold the new thing that you are doing, Lord. Lord, would you rest upon us, God. Want more of you, Lord Jesus. More of you, Lord Holy Spirit. Let us be a prayer, Lord. Would you rest upon us, God. More of you, God. Just more of you, Lord Jesus. Just more of you, Lord. More of you, Lord.
Let your glory fall in this room.
Let your glory fall upon us, Jesus.
Let it go forth from here to the nations. Let your fragrance rest in this place. As we gather to seek your face, let your glory fall. Let your glory fall in this room.
Let it go.
Let it go far from here to the nations. Let your fragrance rest in this place. As we gather,
Father, let your glory fall upon us, Jesus. That even as right now, we come before the Lord's table. Lord, we want to prepare our hearts, oh Father, to commune with you, Jesus. That we pray that this will not just be a practice that we do in our church, but this will be a lifestyle that we live in our secret place with you, God. When no one's looking, that we will commune with you, that we will fellowship with you. Then we will fall more in love with you, Jesus. Holding the bread and the cup in your hands, Father, we thank you that this evening that we can partake of the communion together. Lord, remind us once again that you are coming back really, really soon. And that you are coming back for every single one of us. That even as we partake of the bread and the cup today, Holy Spirit, we ask God, would you fill us once again? Would you fill us once again, Jesus, with more of you, Lord? We thank you for your presence, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.
holding the bread and the cup in your hands in 1 Corinthians 11 chapter, verse 23 onwards. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, after he had given thanks, he broke the bread and turned to his disciples and said, "This bread signifies my broken body. As often as you eat this bread, do this in remembrance of me until I return." As a family, in remembrance that the Lord is coming back for us, let's partake of the bread together. In the same manner of reverence, on the night when you were betrayed, Jesus, you took the cup and you said to your disciples, "This cup signifies the new covenant that I've made through my blood. As often as you drink this cup, do this in remembrance of me," the Lord says. And in Revelation chapter 12, it says that we overcome the enemy through the blood of the Lamb. As a family, let's partake of the cup together. I want you to put your cups down and I want you to lift up your hands. Just lift up your hands wherever you are right now. Father, I pray that, Lord, you will help us to be so sensitive to your voice and to your leading that we will not miss out on what you have in store for us in the coming days, God. That you will prepare us to move into 2025 spiritually, Lord Jesus. And I pray that starting from today, I declare over your people, the seasons are shifting. The seasons are shifting. The seasons are shifting. Behold, you are doing a new thing in their life. So, Father, I thank you for your awesome presence in this place. We honor you. We love you, Father. I stretch my hands and I bless your people, Lord, that even as we leave from this place, Holy Spirit, may you continue to guide them, Lord, as a shepherd, as a comforter, as a teacher. Bless your people. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everyone say, amen, amen, amen. Amen.